happened to stop in at one of these fast food restaurants the other night on the way to an appointment, and as I was about halfway through my little meal there, I noticed a man on the opposite side of the room, sort of eyeing me, a little more than normal. And I tried to appear nonchalant and not notice this, but when he finished, sure enough, he came over to my table and asked me the strangest question, to which I really, to this moment, don't know the answer. The question was, "Do I know you?" Welcome to Night Sounds. I'm Bill Pierce. My first thought of response to that question was, I sure hope not. Because who of us really knows the other? I guess I'm in public performance and invisible enough that people see me and I don't see them en masse. So tonight's program, I thought I might title, "Do I Know You?" But instead of that, since we're dealing with certain problems of the human psyche, I've entitled our time together, "The Dark Side." Not that the program's going to be a downer, but every one of us has a dark side, a character flaw somewhere, which the enemy of the soul can get hold of and have a field day with if we don't watch it. So tonight, since we're dealing in the dark side, we want to make sure that throughout our program, we exalt the name of the King of Kings.
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer.
Maranatha Singers, a song about Jesus, the name above every name. Tonight's program, The Dark Side. Talking about certain personality disorders that really aren't evident or obvious right away, in many cases. Have you ever known anyone who, all of a sudden, began to exhibit personality changes and temperament extremes that you had never noticed before? I think back of, well, even the last 6 months, I can think of two people whom I felt I knew, one for many years, another in a short time, but felt I knew enough about him. But in both cases, under certain stimuli and circumstances, both of them exhibited an alarming dark side, which was almost scary. And this is not to judge anyone, but just to bring out once again that all of us are born in sin, and we were conceived because in this world, which is flawed, we have flaws too, and I guess some of them are obvious, and others we are able to hide or subvert or subdue or suppress so that no one sees them except at that moment when all of the stimuli works together and then another person seems to come forth. At times to an alarming degree. I'm thinking specifically now of an occurrence in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. After a storm at sea, one of those huge lake storms in the Holy Land, typical of the Sea of Galilee, a quick rising, unpredictable churning of waters and wind and waves, these waves heaved into the boat, threatening to destroy it, and Jesus slept through it. And the disciples, when Jesus awoke and asked them why they were afraid and stopped the wind and the waves, were totally blown away. They were filled with awe. They thought they knew this person and said, "Who then is this? Where even wind and sea obey him?" Well, they went back to sleep and they awoke the next morning to another storm of a different type. Tonight's program entitled The Dark Side. In this account, in Mark chapter 5, we walk into this story. We find there a rather frightening person. When they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes, immediately there met Jesus and the rest from out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who lived among the tombs. No one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, according to Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. And this weird scene jumps out from the text as if we just stumbled through a back door of an ancient insane asylum. Michael Hall, psychologist, in his excellent series Metamorphosis, was commenting on this particular scenario, and he said, "A pitiful creature looms forward here, dirty, naked, fierce, wild, unkempt, and furious." In fact, Mark says he was demonized, filled with a spirit that was unclean. Mr. Hall said, "I interpret that to mean he had nearly lost his own sense of reality to some internal dialogue, an internal critic, that made him feel guilty, dirty, unworthy. And these evil thoughts and ugly dispositions had overcome him and now dominated his thinking, his feeling, his speaking, and his behavior." This must have been a very scary scene. And as we walk into the story, do you at first wonder what any of this has to do with you or me? Mr. Hall said, as I continue to go deeper into this account, the mist disappears, and we discover the name the man called himself which was legion, and the spirits were speaking for him. Legion is somewhat like all of us. He becomes, in fact, a portrait of humanity in a traumatized condition. And in our program tonight, The Dark Side, it is certainly established once again that each of us is possessed by what seem to be alien forces now and then, deep internal conflicts, to a greater or lesser degree, depending upon the influences in our past and the pressures that have formed our personalities. This story in Mark really fleshes out the inner conflicts described by the Apostle Paul, who said, "The good that I want to do, I don't do, and the evil that I don't want to do, that I do." So, we can also get out of control sometimes, out of sync, not able to cope. I can remember a 3-year period about 10 or 12 years ago when I was totally off center, I felt. And how I continued in this ministry, I'll never know, other than God's power. I often say they were my crazy years. The pressures just became so great, and I was so alone in them, that I felt that it was something from somewhere else. We can become out of control and even sometimes seem to go crazy in our attempts to gain some power or effectiveness over our own lives. We cry out for meaning, for healing, for wholeness, and find none. We may feel inwardly torn by forces that we don't even understand. We can feel alienated from human warmth and begin to sabotage ourselves. I've done that verbally. And to this crazed, traumatized man to whom Jesus appeared, we find Jesus doing what no one else had ever done. He didn't run away in fright or take an aggressive, threatening position. He simply stood there, calm, peaceful, open, receiving, caring, unafraid, offering understanding and pity. Most people were terrified by this man and probably took off at the thought of him. Mr. Hall said this unexpected and strange response completely interrupted the man. And that explains what he then did. Seeing Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. The New English Bible said he flung himself down before him. Why did he do this? The first response was so different from his usual mode of operations. And rather than show his ferocity, he worshipped. What was it about Jesus that evoked this response? Simply, for one thing, the not so obvious fact that he was not reactive. Everyone else, as I mentioned, had run in terror or retaliated with hostility. But not Jesus. He saw beyond these defenses and behaved as if there was nothing to fear, but everything to be kind and gracious to him. This sort of reminds you of that TV series, The Incredible Hulk, how this sane, good-looking guy who was going around doing good, all of a sudden, with the right kinds of chemistry and stimuli again, turned into this monstrous, humongous hulk of a person, turned green in color and was fearsome. Well, perhaps the hulk in this account began running from the top of the hill toward the landing party on one of his terrorizing maneuvers. Whatever drove him, by the time he reached Jesus, he took to the ground and began worshiping. Was it true adoration, or was it awe and fear? How authentic was it? Tonight, as we contemplate the Lord of creation, the Lord over all of the elements, the Lord over all humanity and all things living, we recognize that as we come to Him, we do so with awe. If we come worshipfully before Him, we recognize that this is way beyond us, and we stand or fall silent before Him. Some years ago, there was a new song that was written by Bill Gaither. It's been around for a good many years now. I'd like to play a little bit of it on the trombone for you right now, and in a few moments we'll come in with some of the words. Jesus. There's just something about that name, that personage. Jesus. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but He still stands unique among all creation of all time. There's just something about that name. Kings and kingdoms, let's sing it again together, all right? Songs by now, something about that name. This is Night Sounds. I'm Bill Pierce, very happily with you. As is the case just about every night, we come together. Some nights are happier than others, because we are creatures of emotion and mood swings and circumstances. Reminds me of a greeting a fellow gave me one time, asked me how I was doing. I said, I'm doing pretty good under the circumstances. His response was, what are you doing there? And I looked around and I said, where? And he said, under the circumstances. Well, I guess it was an extreme question, because we are human, but I got its meaning. We don't have to remain under the circumstances, and under our dark sides. In the case of the demoniac, in the gospel account of Mark chapter 5, a change took place because up to that point he'd had nothing but terror and insanity and demon possession. But immediately upon his encounter with Jesus, the whole scene changed. Now we see him, Mark chapter 5, verse 15, after his healing, after his exorcism. The people came to see what it was that had happened. The news began to travel. The herdsmen tucked their tunics up under their belts and took off for town. Their flock was gone because the demons went into the flock and they were destroyed. Then they came to Jesus and saw this demoniac sitting there, clothed. He had been naked prior to that, and in his right mind. The man who had had the legion of demons, and they were afraid. And there they found him, sitting and at peace, clothed in his right mind. Where did he get his clothes? Did Matthew say, "I've got an extra tunic in the boat"? Maybe James pitched in, "Well, I have extra sandals." However it came about, his sanity and personhood restored, and his presence induced a state of fear in those who recognized him. Maybe they feared the power that brought it about. Some reverently feared the transformation. When we come to God, how do we approach him? In fear? Not terror, but reverential trust is the true meaning of fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That particular story in Mark was an extreme account, but it somehow touches all of us because we each have a dark side. I have released mine to the God who created me, because I don't ever want to see it again, ever. And maybe you can too, to ask him to touch you with the same power with which he touched the demoniac man. He is able to cleanse us, to clothe us with righteousness and hope and peace, and to lead us into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. During these next few moments, I invite you to listen very closely to the words of this music. This is a beautiful number. Every time we play it, someone responds. There's healing in the hands of Jesus for you, no matter what your dark side, your personality disorder, the terror of your soul might be. Would you listen responsively to the message of this song? In Jesus' name, right now, there's healing in his hand.
Yesterday, it seemed so clear the way your life should be, but somehow things didn't come around. Confusion leaves you in defeat.
But friend, it's time.
All the wrong.
And I'm sure all of those folk who listened to that beautiful testimony at the Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York were quietly thrilled at the possibility, once again, that we could be renewed in our spirits and souls, that the dark side need not take precedence over that which the Lord has given us of release and peace. Thank you so much for sharing these moments tonight. I'm sure that many of you can identify with a lot of what's been said tonight. Not that we're going to concentrate or accentuate the negative, but to recognize it, confess it, renounce, forsake, and release it to the Son of God who says, "Come to me, and I'll give you rest." If you would accept Christ into your heart and life, please let us know. You can reach out on your own way right now. We want to help you, send you materials, and pray for you. Our mailing address is Night Sounds, Wheaton, Illinois, 60189. Till next time, then, may His peace take you through the dark side and into His light. Until we meet again, then, a peaceful good night to you.